It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It is Simpsons time. And I hope you're ready for it, because this is a pretty important episode that I'm about to discuss. Although, when we discuss any episode in season 2 or season 3, it seems that it is an important episode, because all of the ones in those two seasons kind of plant seeds that will grow throughout the series' life. And it is really fascinating to me to see, like, which ones take root and, you know, to what extent. And today we're going to talk about Bart's Friend Falls in Love, episode 58. Directed by Jim Reardon, and I forgot to put this on the playlist, but I will in a second. Written by Kogan and Wolodarski, who I really have not talked enough about. They were a writing team that were brought on at the very beginning of the series by Sam Simon, I believe. And after The Simpsons, they went on to write for Malcolm in the Middle and develop the show. And you can really see the beginnings of Malcolm in the Middle in this episode, which I find kind of cool. Bart's Friend Falls in Love, of course, is the episode with Samantha Stanky, the one-episode wonder love interest of Milhouse. And Malcolm in the Middle being a show about relationships between kids, and even more so like relationships between kids and parents, and, you know, how parents can be so cruel in the eyes of kids. This is very well brought to life here in this particular show. I'm thinking most of all of Samantha's father when she, like, yanks... when he, you know, he comes up to the treehouse and expels her from the treehouse and consigns her to the St. Sebastian's school. But then, you know, there's also some really good buddy-buddy dialogue between Bart and Milhouse that also recalls that show. After their... discovered to be boyfriend and girlfriend, and Bart is like, this is stupid and gross, like, what's so cool about kissing? The whole dialogue of, a lot of it is waiting to kiss, you know, like when you have an Eskimo pie and you wait just a little bit for it to melt. And Bart goes, but she doesn't melt. Milhouse goes, oh yes she does. Totally gross. You know, a little bit redemptive, a little bit of a stutter step in that Milhouse here is romantically successful. You know, he and not Bart has won a romance and a love relationship, which, you know, in current times would not really happen. But it happens now. This is also the introduction and the debut of Kirk and Luann Van Houten, which, you know, you saw how successfully that whole thing took off. Not right away, but a few seasons later, Kirk and Luann became completely beloved characters. So, what happens in this one? We open with the genius Raiders of the Lost Ark parody, when Bart is stealing Homer's change jar and has to roll underneath the garage door as it is closing, pursued by Homer in his underwear, who, spherical as he is, resembles a boulder tumbling down the stairs. And an interesting thing to watch slowly, or, you know, frame by frame, is after Bart has already successfully descended the stairs, seeing Homer continuing to roll behind him, like over his shoulder, is really funny. Like, very, very well timed, very fast, and very, very funny. And the way he, like, triumphantly waves from the door of the school bus is just amazing. The only thing that I wish was done more with was the change jar itself. Like, we don't really see what Bart does with the change jar. And that's a shame. There's plenty of comic books in this. I wonder if he and Milhouse could have at some point been seen to go buy comics, or, you know, whatever. So, as he is in the school bus with Milhouse, Milhouse reveals that he has bought a magic eight ball of the type that you used to get in Spencer Gifts for many years, and everyone had one. I like the line by Bart, "Cool, an oversized novelty billiard ball," like before he even knows that it, you know, tells the future. And the magic eight ball, true to form, portends something bad will happen in their friendship before the end of the day. And it turns out the bad thing is that there's a new student in the school, Samantha Stanky, voiced by Kimmy Robertson, who was a friend of some of the writers. And I think she does a really great job. She has, it's a very convincing little kid voice. And I like the way she is drawn, too, with the pink jumper and braces and everything. She looks convincingly like a real little girl. Another thing that's very menacing and Malcolm in the Middle-like is that everyone in the school, the teachers in the school, are very suspicious of her. Like, they don't like that there's a new student in the school, and that adds to, you know, just the extreme embarrassment of being the student in the new school. They just make no bones about it. Skinner, when he's grilling her before she goes into the class, mentions her bedwetting problem, and Ms. Krabappel grades her on grammar and poise when she is compelled to talk, you know, about why she's there, why she has transferred. But all of that is soon forgotten when Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You-Know-What is shown to the class. And I think this is great. The use of rabbits anthropomorphized is a callback to Life in Hell, and that's always cool. Although Fluffy and Fuzzy Bunny don't really look that much like Binky and Sheba, but, you know, just because they're in Matt Groening style and anthropomorphic rabbits, they have to at least resemble them a little bit. So that's all very funny, the implication that there is porn, like, within this kid's film strip that all the kids are watching, even though we don't see it. It's very good. And yeah, this is a glimpse into Ms. Krabappel's life, too, because of the very jaded way she reacts to it. And it has the effect of inflaming the passions of Samantha and Milhouse, and they become kissing friends in Bart's treehouse later on. Bart is super jealous and sabotages this relationship by tipping off Samantha's father about where the kissing is taking place. And so he comes and carts her off, as I mentioned before. Milhouse is heartbroken, and Bart, feeling remorse and egged on by Lisa to apologize, goes over to his house. This is where we first see his parents. And sees him, you know, totally miserable, prone on the bed, crying, and confesses that he's the one who has done this to him. And then they have a savage fight, and Milhouse cracks, No, other way around. To defend himself, Bart cracks Milhouse over the head with the magic eight ball so hard that it breaks, and I feel like Milhouse would definitely be in the hospital for that, but he's not. But their friendship survives because Milhouse is allowed to visit Samantha at her new Catholic school where the nuns sing. And they're French-Canadian. And he goes back, having dropped off the giant tub of gummy bears and kissed her one more time. And the episode ends with he and Bart walking off out of the gates, a Casablanca-style scene from the back. And Bart's line at the very end definitely bolsters the fan theory that Bart might be gay. Because Milhouse says something like, "Do you think I'll ever fall in love again?" And Bart says, "You're asking the wrong guy, Milhouse. They all look alike to me." And that is the end of the show. So, you know, the loose end of the change jar notwithstanding, it's a very tidy plot, and I love it. But I have to also mention the B story in this show, which is so brilliant and so outlandish. And is a great example of the A and the B stories sort of complementing each other, because one is mundane and the other one is outlandish. And this happens a lot, and I've talked about it a lot. This is the episode where Homer increases his vocabulary subliminally because Lisa wants him to lose weight and orders him a subliminal weight loss tape to listen to in his sleep, which is Dr. Marvin Monroe saying things to make him slim, but due to a mix-up or, you know, a negligence at the mail order place, he gets sent the vocabulary builder instead. And, you know, like, instantly, Homer being the impressionable sort he is, he can use all of these extremely high-flown 50-cent words in conversation. "Ah, there's a Machiavellian countenance. Ooh, a sextet of ale." Like, so, so funny. The only thing that sort of makes me bristle a little bit is when he's convincing Marge to snuggle and they're in bed. He goes, "In the boudoir, the gourmand metamorphosizes into the voluptuary," and tears off her nightcap with his teeth. I want him to say metamorphoses, not metamorphosizes. I don't really know if metamorphosizes is a real word. And they did such a good job with the rest of it that I wonder why they muffed that one. Muffed. But yeah, it's really funny. And later, much later in the series, when people criticize it for making Homer too stupid, I can imagine them hearkening back to this time. When Homer is, yes, still stupid, but he's able, at least, to speak that way and to appear intelligent. And make people believe he is intelligent. There's a tiny little button at the very end after Bart and Milhouse have walked off Casablanca style, where Homer, dressed in like a mortarboard and with a pointer, is pointing at several of the words that he said. And I love that because it's like just not enough time for you to read all of it. You have to freeze the frame. And I just love that drawing of Homer in that like jaunty pose. Before he thinks he's going to build his vocabulary, when he realizes that, or before he realizes rather, when he still thinks he's going to lose his stomach, he has memories of the things that he's done with his stomach. And to me, that is very similar to when I was 17, I drank some very good beer. Him, like, waxing nostalgic about painting the face on his stomach and putting the giant hat on. And it did indeed predate Very Good Beer, so that's probably where they got it from. Anyway, really, really great work by Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky on this one. It's like, it pushes the boundaries of PG-ness. But it is very sweet, you know, in the way the best early Simpsons can be. There is, like, there are other sexual things in this episode that are very subtle, and some not so subtle. Otto at one point says his girlfriend is dancing topless at the airport bar from 4:15 to 4:20, and that's why he has to, like, speed off with the bus, and he can't hang out. And this is probably unintentional, but I sort of couldn't not notice it. In the cute meet, when Samantha knocks Milhouse's glasses off and he can't see her yet, he says, when I catch the person who's done this to me, I'm going to tear them anew. You know, I mean, there's definitely something sexual there, but it's probably unintentional. Just me and my dirty mind picked up on it. Yeah, Kirk and Luann are here. Kirk has one line in that raspy voice that's really an imitation of Milhouse's voice that Hank Azaria does. And Luann, this is interesting, when she opens the door at her very, very first moment in the series, says, "Milhouse could use a friend like you," you know, in a Milhouse-type voice. But that is immediately abandoned. Her next voice is, "Milhouse is out of bed and full of beans," which is just so, it's like so quintessentially her, the way she will remain. So. Something else to consider. And yes, there are more things to consider, but I think, you've heard enough for one day. Thank you so much, as always, for indulging me with Simpsons time. And This has been Simpsons time.
Dominique, Nique, Nique, s'en allait tout simplement routier, pauvre chantant.
Woo! Thanks, guys, for listening to the podcast. That was a long one, wasn't it? I'm here just reviewing it and laughing, first of all, because of Homer with the hat over his top half of his torso and the face painted on his belly. Just imagining that makes me laugh. Also laughing at myself for saying things like, oh, marvelous work by Kogan and Wolodarski, like I'm anybody. Premier TV critic Amanda Nazario over here. Hey, this is my first opportunity to out loud thank all of you who pledged money to Simpsons Time through the Deep Baculator for this past fundraising marathon 2018. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You can see yourself thanked in a playlist comment for last week's episode if you go to the playlist for that. Some of you really donated a lot of money, and every single person who donated any amount is very, very, very much appreciated. Thank you. This, of course, is Ce Sourire, the Singing Nun, singing us out. I hope you will join me next week for another one of these Simpsons times. Bye. Le pain s'en vint à manquer et deux anges se présentèrent portant de grands pains dorés. Dominique et Nique s'en allaient tout simplement.